Would you turn in your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 5? We're going to finish up our Mark number 5. We have 7 total. Last week we began looking at the 5th mark of emotionally healthy discipleship that transforms deeply our hearts for the Lord. And that is that we should make love the measure of our spiritual maturity. Make love the measure of our spiritual maturity. How well are you loving the Lord today? But we like to stop there sometimes and say, oh yeah, I love the Lord. But then they ask you about that neighbor that gets on your nerves all the time. How do you love them? Well, we understand they're inseparable. We have to see that our love for God is going to show by our love for others. And I certainly trust that we see that come true in our lives. But Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Actually, I'm going to begin reading in verse 6. Romans chapter 5. Verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, I want you to say that those two words with me when I read it again. For when we were yet, all right, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I want us to say that last word together as I read the second part. In due time, Christ died for the, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth, that word is demonstrated, he proved, he commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Wednesday night study. What a joy it is to see my brothers and sisters out here in the sanctuary tonight, seeing the young people come in with smiling faces and just excited to be at church. I'm thankful for that. And Lord, no doubt that we've all had challenges even today in some way. But I pray that, Lord, we would set all the distractions of the world aside. And Lord, I just pray that you would have our full affection and our full attention as we worship you together and obey you and love you and submit to your spirit. Thank you, Lord. Teach us to love like you do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, as we look tonight at the fact of loving people well is a defining characteristic of a mature Christian. And I believe I think everyone here could agree to this. I believe we're tested in that way every day. Would you say our love is tested every day? Our love for God and our love for each other? Absolutely. It is put to the test in some way. Our love for our children, our love for our coworker, our boss, or whatever the case may be. One of those things that Jesus talked about to the Pharisees. He says, you fellas, I'm paraphrasing here, you fellas think it's a big thing to love someone that you like. He said that don't think you're big stuff because you can love someone that you like. He said, where you're going to see my power is when you start loving people that you don't like and don't even like you. That's where you can be really tested. And that's where we want to be, church. We want to be, and I'll say this again, but Jesus, I'll say this at the end, but Jesus refused to accept that people were growing in love for God in a way that did not translate into love for people. I'm going to say that again. Jesus refused to accept that people were growing in love for God in a way that did not translate into love for people. Because it will. it will translate. And the Holy Spirit is going to give and demonstrate that love. And so as we look at this verse here, I think we, of course, understand that Jesus demonstrated this so vividly when He took upon flesh and came down to this earth. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus left the glory and light of heaven and entered into the darkness of this world. So you could say in some way that Jesus entered into our darkness. Now, He never in any way had darkness in Himself. He was always a perfect light. But He entered into darkness, and that is the way we are to love as well. We enter into people's lives that are around us. And sometimes it's entering into people's darkness and remaining full of the light of Christ. But that is to be seen as we walk with the Lord. One of the ways we demonstrate our love for others is what I want to mention a little bit tonight is what is a practical way that I can demonstrate that love. I'm going to mention one specifically tonight, but let's just take a few ways that what are practical ways we demonstrate love for others, even people that are what could be considered an enemy or unlike us. Let me just ask that question. Anybody here want to give some feedback? Practical ways we demonstrate love to the world and to each other. I saw your hand, Tammy. Being a friend. Very good. Dan, did I see your hand? Yeah. Personal interest. Very good. Good. Someone else. Just practical ways, Eugenia. Listen. Very good. Very good. Someone else. Anybody else? Practical ways. Serve them. Wow, that's a good one. Serving them. Good. Anybody else? And it's just, there's going to be a lot of answers here. Anything else? Well, there's a lot we could give, is it not? What about, you know, forgiving is one, right? Okay. Well, I want to go back to, I guess, even all the ones that were just mentioned, they all go together. And that's the main one I want to talk about tonight. And it's the idea of being a friend. It's the idea of being interested in their life. And it's the idea of listening well to them. And to love others well, we must be genuinely present with them. Now get this, not preoccupied with our own agenda. Let me explain. There was a man, he was a Jewish man that was from Germany back in the, I believe it was the late 1800s, Martin Buber, I believe was how you pronounce his last name, but he, I don't know how much of a spiritual man, I don't know how if he was saved or how much of a strong Christian he was, but he certainly was a seeker, and one of the things that he found himself through, it's a rather somber experience. He had someone come to him, a young man that was troubled, and this Martin gentleman was very, very much preoccupied with some of his own things, and he just didn't listen well. He wasn't a good friend to this individual that was expressing some things, and just kind of wrote him off. And something happened that was just tragic, of course. This man, Martin, got word a few weeks later that the young man had taken his life. And it really crushed Martin to the point where he actually wrote a book and he came up with what he called basically it was the I and it diagram and the I and thou diagram. And the one that would he described as the I and it is that when we as humans are not loving properly, we look at people as objects. We look at them as basically a means to an end. What basically in loving you, what's in it for me? What am I going to get back from demonstrated or giving love? And that can look in so many different ways. I mean, it can, and when I go back to our verse here in just a moment, sometimes we only love people that look like us. Sometimes we really only want to show love that people that talk like us. Sometimes we really only want to show love when people act like us. And so we almost get this idea that we're only loving people if you meet my standard. I will love you if you meet my standard. But we got to understand, Christians, that is not mature and that is not agape love. Because agape love is loving you unconditionally. Do you think I met God's standard when He came and showed His love to me? Did I even come close to meeting God's standard when He came and demonstrated His love to me? You all know the answer, don't you? And the same is applied for all of us. We all fell infinitely short of meeting God's holy standard. But did that stop God from coming and showing His love toward us? Did it stop Him? Thank God it did not stop Him. That's why He came. And He was not stamping approval upon our sin, but He came when He knew where we were, as the verse says. It's just so clear in Scripture as we see that we were without strength. And he says, I died for the ungodly. That's you and me. And then He also said, while we were yet sinners. The idea is while we were even sinning, Christ died for us. And it says He showed His love towards us. So what we have to do in Christianity, folks, is we got to get into a habit of loving people, whether or not people can give anything back, even when they don't meet our standard of living, even when they don't look like us. Now, again, this is in no way, you got to understand, this is not, condoning sin in any way. You keep a righteous, Jesus never in any way approved of sin. You understand. But He entered into people's lives, not waiting for them. And I'm glad that it wasn't like, and I know it wasn't like this for a fact. It wasn't like God looking down upon humanity and then looking down at that Brinson, that Brinson guy. Oh yeah. He's a good one. Let's go down and go after him. No. Far from it. I was vile. I was despicable in my heart. I was a hater of God. I was full of myself and full of pride. I was eternally separated from God. And God came after me anyway. And this is my point here. The world needs to know that we have that kind of love for them, even though we do not agree with their sin. They must know that. And it takes great discipline and the fullness of the Holy Spirit to be able to be proactive in doing that. Now, I know the world will twist it. And when we stand against unrighteousness and have no part of participating in sinful actions like the world does, they take that as you hate me. But hey, let them twist it, because we know that's not true. We know that's not true. We know we have a God-given commandment to be separated from sin and to represent the light of the world. His name is Jesus. But I'm thankful that Jesus gave the perfect example of coming among sinners. He took on flesh and He dwelt among sinners and was a light to them. Now the Pharisees, they they were great students of the Word. They were very faithful in their religious practices. They really looked good and they appeared really good, but Jesus had a big problem with a lot of them, most of them. Because here's the thing, they had zero love. They had the outward conformity and the religious formalities, and that's what scares me to death. I never want to be that guy that has all the formalities down, but there's a large absence of love in my life. So do I see people as an object, as a means to an end? I think we can even do it as leaders in the church. I really think you can. You can basically show love to people as long as, you know, they're doing what you want them to do. And even in the name of making disciples and growing a church, you know, church leaders can get this idea that look at people as objects. That's bad. It's wrong. We shouldn't look at our children as objects. I believe the what we need to understand in Godlike love is we need to look at all human beings, whether Christian and non-Christian. We need to look at those are human beings made in the image of God. Yes, many times scarred and yes, definitely separated because of sin. But may we not forget that each person that is born into this world was uniquely created in the image of God. Amen? So even though they may be covered in a life of sin and scarred by that, we as God's children have to be so full of Jesus that we see right through it. We see right through it. We see a creation that is made in the image of God that has the potential of being born again and reconciled to God and being, that's what God sees. That's what we have to see. That's what will get you around sinners, not to become like them, to win them, but it will get you around them and they will see that love. They will feel that love. That's the kind of believer you want to be. I must love people for who they are versus loving people for how they can be like me or benefit me. So let's do that. Let's love people for who they are. No matter they look like us or not, we're going to seek to reach them. And then let's just put it on me. We've been talking about extreme, but let's just even talk about each other here in a church like this. Everybody in here is uniquely made with different personalities and different gifts in the local church. I mean, hey, I look across this sanctuary and I'm looking at a bunch of different kind of people. Uniquely made in the image of God. But you know, true love will encourage each other and embrace that with each other. We'll appreciate it. We won't get mad when people's cell phones go off in the service. No, we don't get upset at petty things. We grow in Christian maturity. We become less in our judgment, mental spirit. We become more merciful and compassionate. Again, not patting sin on the back and saying, oh, sweep it under the rug. No, it's not that. It's not that, but it's just less judgmental, more patient, working with each other, forgiving one another. Do you see where I'm going here? That's the love that God wants us to be growing in. We fall short. I understand that. I do. I know I do. But I certainly want to be like the Lord. So, again, how well do you listen and enter into people's lives and be willing to hear their heart without being distracted? I'll close with this. One of the the diagrams that came in the Emotionally Healthy Discipleship book was the I-It relationship and the I-Thou relationship, and it went down two columns. It was on the back of your handout from last week. You may still have it. But the I-It relationship, these are some of the characteristics that would be demonstrated. Distracted and just simply goal-oriented. In other words, you get in my way, you better get out of the way or you're going to get run over. Others are objects or extensions of oneself. There's more of a tendency to be judgmental and only conditional acceptance. It's mainly monologue and debate. Make my point. Let me make my point, and that's all that really matters. I withhold myself. I limited sharing. I do not make myself vulnerable. The I-It relationship is closed and unwilling to learn or change. But the opposite is true. When we look at people made in the image of God and we're showing the love of God, we're going to be fully attentive to those that we're communicating with. We're going to be listening oriented, as was mentioned. Others are persons, unique and separate. Yes, they may see things different than us, but we will have a unique appreciation for that. Non-judgmental. Even a radical acceptance, the fact that you're not gonna change that person, only God can. Just like I can only be changed by the Lord working in my heart. There's dialogue, exploration, curiosity. There's an offering of myself. There's vulnerable self-disclosure. There's just being an openness to those that I love, and open and willing to learn and change. So you see the difference there. Of how we want to go. So that's the mark number 5. And so I just want to close by saying this: where are you tonight in your love? If we were to just measure your spiritual maturity tonight by love alone, where would you be from a scale 1 to 10? 0 just being hateful, unattentive, uncaring, especially people that don't look like you, talk like you, act like you. But then 10, loving just like Jesus did. Entering into their darkness to show the light of Christ. To be able to listen and to be able to give hope and peace. Hopefully have opportunities to give God's truth. I don't think any of us are at 10 tonight. But we certainly should strive for that. Let's strive to be in the upper numbers. How's that going to happen? Anybody just want to mention that? How's that going to happen? It's the first fruit of the Spirit, right? Mentioned in Galatians 5. So how's it going to happen? Yeah, how's the love going to happen? How are we going to love those? Being filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit of God. May God have His way. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for loving us perfectly. Lord, we fall short in this, but God, we're not going to make excuses. I'm not going to sit here and talk about, well, you don't know my case, and Lord, mine isn't as, theirs isn't as bad as mine. Lord, forgive me for that. I don't ever want to think that way. Lord, I want to love like you love. And I pray you'd help the members of Crooked Creek Baptist Church to grow in deep spiritual maturity by showing a love even when people don't see it the same way that we do. And certainly I pray that this would only cultivate a sweet unity upon our local church and upon our families, upon our marriages, upon our parent and child relationships. Lord, help parents to be balanced, to be able to take a stand on truth, but show love. God, I thank you for how you're going to guide us in this. It seems overwhelming at times, Lord, but I do know that your word says that you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So I'm thankful tonight that your Spirit is able to love in an amazing way in and through us. So we commit our lives to you and our church, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.